Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Beyond the junkyard echoes roar, shattered dreams and bloodstains pour, grit and glory all from war.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I am your host, Junkyard James, and with me, like he is every Thursday on the live stream, is the man, the myth, the legend, the undefeated, guess the wrestler, champion right now, reigning, defending champion, Cody Marinara. How are you doing, my friend?
I feel like that streak may end depending on how all things go tonight. I feel like you're setting me up for failure here, son. But you know what? It's going all right. We're starting to get into the very, very, very warm part of the year here in the Carolinas. We've got these random pop-up thunderstorms that now happen every day. Israel just attacked Iran. It's a fantastic day in the world. Going okay over here on this side of the world. How are things on your end of the spectrum there, sir?
Yeah, it feels like we live in Florida and not North Carolina with the way that this rain just comes out of nowhere. It's like sunny one minute and then you about spin out from the rain on your way home from work. It's been a good week so far. We had a pretty good show for AEW Summer Blockbuster last night. We'll get into that later in the show. But like always, the way that we start this show is I get to tell you about the four buttons on the top of the screen. I need y'all to like this, to comment in the chat if you're watching live. Post some questions or some topics that you want us to talk about. We have a section of today's show spaced out specifically for Discord and or YouTube comments. We'll answer your questions or your comments and just interact with the chat there. Share the podcast. Share this video. If you're listening to this afterwards on the audio format on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, share those as well. And then hit that subscribe button, hit the notification bell. That way you're notified every Thursday when we go live and every Saturday morning as I'm getting more and more consistent on posting those solo Saturday episodes. let's jump in to the first segment this week, which is sponsored by our friends over at Dubby Energy. I hear the thunder in the background. If you can't hear, we got another one of these pop-up storms coming up. But Dubby Energy, they bring thunder to your day as they give you that crash-free focus. Go to dubby.gg, use the code Beyond the Yard, get 10% off of your order. They have this new Minecraft collection. They have some sampler packs. If you don't want to spend the full amount to try the whole canister of the powder, you can get one of the content creator starter packs. Save you a little bit of money there and save you even more money using our code Beyond the Yard and the discount code box at checkout at dubby.gg. Help support the podcast. Thank you for Dubby for being the power behind the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. My friend, are you ready for?
No.
You ready to guess the wrestler? Your undefeated streak. You're like Mercedes Moné. Your undefeated streak is on the line. And I told you this off the clock, but I'll say it for the people watching. The way that I went about it this week, I'm going to be completely honest with you. It was about 8:45 and I was like, "Buck, I still haven't picked a wrestler to do this segment for." So I went to Grok and I said, "Hey, tell me about a random pro wrestler." And it picked a random pro wrestler for me, and that is going to be our guess the wrestler this week. I'm going to give you some background info. I'll put 5 minutes on the clock, and I will see if you can get this wrestler. All right, so this guy is a comedy wrestler. Oh, he had a comedic persona, and he is a 22-time champion. I can't give that what champion away because I think it'll give away who he is later on as we move on. 22-time blank champion. Put those two and two together. You got 5 minutes on the clock. As soon as I can find the clock, there it is. All right. 5 minutes on the clock, my friend. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right. Your time starts now.
Is this wrestler still current, or is he no longer wrestling?
I haven't heard about him in quite a while, so I think he's done. I don't think he wrestles anymore.
Is he alive?
I think.
Okay.
No, he died.
Oh.
He died on November 6th, 2003. At the age of 32.
Let us see here. Was he primarily in the WWE, ECW?
So he was WWF. I think it was kind of in that era where ECW wasn't part of the company at this point, but like they were aiming more towards that hardcore fan base.
I have a guess. I don't think it's right. Is the wrestler Crash Holly?
Motherfucker. Yes. It was Crash Holly. I don't think I'm gonna beat. I'm gonna change this game to, can I find a wrestler he doesn't know? Yeah, it was Crash Holly. He was a 22-time hardcore champion.
I kind of figured it was a hardcore champion. I just was trying to figure out which, if it was like Raven. I don't remember all the number of title reigns, but usually you can remember the more title reigns that they had. So I was like, okay, was Raven up there? Maybe Stevie Richards? Crash Holly, things like that. So
he was R-Truth before R-Truth became a comedy wrestler.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, hey, that segment went a lot shorter than I had anticipated, but this guy is just an encyclopedia of knowledge, and that's what I guess. What I have to come to understand, I'm going to have to find some, Austrian wrestler that even I don't know anything about. He's, a zero-time champion, and that's going to be the one that I get him. I'm not stopping. We're not swapping roles until I can find a wrestler you don't know.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
All righty. Well, as we transition to some actual wrestling content, tell us about our friends over at StubHub.
StubHub, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. If you all are looking to score tickets to the hottest events in town, StubHub has got you covered. Whether it's a concert, got the summer concert series in full swing, bands and music acts are on tour, sports game in the middle of the MLB season, we're wrapping up the championship series in both the NHL at the Stanley Cup Finals, the NBA Finals, the College World Series is going on as well. Or if you're looking to go to that must-see Broadway show, StubHub is your one-stop shop for live event tickets. Millions of listings, you can easily find the best seats at the best prices. Plus, with StubHub's 100% buyer guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing your tickets are legit and are ready for you to enjoy the experience. I don't know if any of you guys have had any problems with buying tickets off of third-party apps and then buying them and then showing up to game day, game time, or the time of a concert or event, and then all of a sudden your ticket is not legit. I've never had that happen to me, thank God. But I have seen plenty of people's experiences with that. That's awful. You spend money, you get hyped up, you're ready to go to this event, and then all of a sudden you can't get in because it's a scam. Well, best thing about StubHub is that 100% buyer guarantee, so you know that those tickets are legit. You can actually be hyped up and be ready to enjoy your experience. So why wait? Don't miss out on the action. Visit StubHub today and get your tickets.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
To unforgettable moments, StubHub, the world's largest ticket marketplace. Use the link in the description for all your sporting, live event, and entertainment needs. Using that link, go to StubHub and get yourself ready for the action. Thank you, StubHub, for being an affiliate of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast.
Absolutely. We thank our partner StubHub there. Let's jump into some of the top wrestling news of this week. We'll start with our mid-card meltdown like we do every week. I'm going to let you start. Do you have a topic that just grinded your gears this week, my friend?
I wouldn't say so much that it grinded my gears, but it made me laugh. And I guess it caught enough of my attention for me to bring this up. But I find it funny that the Fed, WWE, is just finding every which way possible to make the R-Truth thing seem like it was a total work. It wasn't. I don't think it was a work at all. Plenty of places were trying to get him to sign, do appearances, and it wasn't because, hey, guys, it's a work. I can't actually do this. They just couldn't come to an agreement in time. And apparently, you know, Truth, I believe, got released or told his contract wasn't being renewed by Nick Khan. And in the days leading up to Money in the Bank, he wasn't answering any of the calls from WWE, basically saying that I'm not going to answer until you give me the horse whatever that saying is. Basically, the person that said I wasn't going to be coming back, I need to hear from him. And evidently, Nick Khan called, and they were able to work out that deal. So good on R-Truth for kind of sticking to his guns and kind of showing up that, hey, listen, you know, I may not be John Cena, I may not be Cody Rhodes, I may not be Roman Reigns, but I have just as much of a spot on that roster as anybody. And fans spoke loud and clear, and I'm glad that R-Truth is back in the Fed, and he's able to do what he needs to do, and it's back on TV. Cool that he's kind of switched up the character gimmick a little bit, going from R-Truth to Ron Killings. Then he chopped off his hair on Raw and taking it a little more seriously. So, hey, ride this wave of momentum as much as you can and do all that you can with it. And I would also say, if I had to put a secondary thing to it, I love the fact that WWE is trying to find every which way to drain out viewership for Dynamite by airing TNA's Against All Odds pay-per-view for free on YouTube. So basically, if you bought the pay-per-view on Saturday or whatever day it was, Friday, Saturday, or have the TNA Plus thing and you're paying for that, hey, you could have just waited 3 days later, it would have been free on YouTube on Wednesday, the same time frame as Dynamite. So, of course, they're going to air that. So I think it's just funny how WWE is just trying to use any sort of product and any sort of thing to just counter AEW programming. But I find it funny that if anybody spent any money on that pay-per-view, that only sold out maybe a quarter of that arena, a small arena in Arizona, mind you. Again, another thing that we make fun of AEW all the time for not selling out 20,000 seat arenas or selling a quarter of that arena. Yet TNA, with this partnership with WWE, Joe Hendry being one of the main acts, Trick Williams being on the show, Santino Marella being on the show, could barely sell a quarter of a 5,000 seat arena in Arizona. So
right.
I think that's funny, but just another fuel for the fire for the Fed is all I can see.
Yeah, we'll talk more about Truth in a little bit here, but the counter programming game, WWE has the formula, I guess, on lock, because rumors have been said that this All In weekend's not the only weekend that they're going to try and counter program AEW content. And the only reason I can think that they want a counter program is that they are afraid that the AEW shows are going to take their own viewership. I think the reason they want to go back to your piece about the work aspect of Truth. Yeah. Why would WWE want it to be a work? All of the press that has been WWE press has been negative press ever since WrestleMania. There has been not a single ounce of positive news that has come out in the wave of WrestleMania, with the fact that WWE pulled the New Orleans show, is going back to Vegas. Fans are leaving in droves for going to live shows because they're you have to pay a lot of money to go to these WWE shows. WWE fans are going to AEW shows because you can literally buy a front row seat at a AEW pay-per-view for the same price as a nosebleed ticket on a Monday Night Raw. And so you have all of this negative news going WWE's way, and they would want to work not only the fans but their entire locker room and add more negative press to it doesn't make sense. It's not a work. They did not anticipate the blowback. And so that's why they had to rush to get a deal done. And that's just my personal opinion on that. My mid-card meltdown goes back to Worlds Collide this past weekend. Because Worlds Collide was a very good show. It was the best of what Lucha Libre has to offer. But my issue is not with the show in and of itself. My show is with these WWE fans who said, this was the greatest thing in the world. Which it was. It was a very good show. But yet, that same style of wrestling gets used on a weekly basis on AEW television. And had AEW put on that in that show, if it was not a an NXT Worlds Collide collaboration with AAA, if it was AEW and CMLL like we're going to see next Wednesday, and that same product came out, they would have called it gimmicky or some other term to hate on the product. Because, oh, this is too much flippy shit. Why is flippy shit okay when it's a WWE event? Why is it okay just because X, Y, and Z? Why is Mr. Iguana, which, by the way, is a very good character, why is he acceptable, but Danhausen comes out in AEW and it's just cringy, or Orange Cassidy comes out and it's basically a comedy gimmick just like Mr. Iguana? And Orange Cassidy isn't a serious wrestler. He shouldn't be, taken seriously. And so that is my issue is with the fans. You can't have it both ways. And there's just a level of hypocrisy with these like casual level fans who think just because it's a WWE product, it is the greatest damn thing in the world. But if AEW had put on that same exact show, it would have been the worst thing they've ever watched. And so that's my meltdown. Can you tell me why the fans are so tribalistic? Like, good wrestling is good wrestling. I enjoyed, for the most part, I enjoyed Worlds Collide. I did watch it live. I was a little late. We watched it, but we were about 30 minutes late waiting in the line at Whataburger because, the first one opened in the area and people are losing their freaking minds. But it was a little late watching it. But the show was good, and for the most part, like, Money in the Bank was a decent show. The problem is, like, I guess the question to me would be, like, Danhausen's a free agent in July. If he showed up in a WWE ring, are they going to be like, oh, Danhausen's here, Mr. Iguana's here, but yet they didn't give a damn about him before? Like, I knew about Mr. Iguana for like months ago, years ago, and they just know about him now. Oh, he's cool now because WWE used him. That's my problem, is you can't have it both ways. He can't be not cool and before he goes on a WWE product, but suddenly cool while he does the same gimmick, but it's a WWE show. It makes no sense to me. Any remarks?
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Yeah, no, I mean, I could totally understand that. I think that, I'll be honest with you, I did not watch Worlds Collide at all. Not because it's a WWE show and I'm not watching. I watch Money in the Bank, but I didn't care enough to watch it. Not that I don't care about Lucha Libre Wrestling. I do enjoy that stuff, especially next Wednesday when AEW has Grand Slam in Mexico. It's going to be a great show. But I just didn't have enough care to watch the show, I guess. Maybe that's lackadaisical on my end. But I like the fact that Mr. Guan is getting the recognition that he probably deserves. It's a great character. And he's going to make a ton of money in WWE because the fan caters to children. And mostly kids are at these shows, and they're going to gravitate towards stuff like that. Danhausen's probably not going to be re-signed by AEW. Probably going to go to either TNA or WWE, where he's going to make a bunch of money by selling the masks, selling Danhausen T-shirts, little stuffed animals of Danhausen, because he's a marketable guy in the WWE's scheme of things. Fed fans don't appreciate anything besides Fed stuff. So when they get introduced to things like Jordan Grace, when they get introduced to things like Joe Hendry, when they get introduced to things like Mr. Iguana, Eugene, anybody that has a funny reserve to R-Truth, they gravitate to that because it's something different. They find it funny. They don't care enough to explore things that are outside of the Fed, like an Orange Cassidy or like a Danhausen. But when they appear on WWE TV, because that's all they watch, that's all they know, now it's cool to them. From a kid's perspective, I mean, it is what it is. You know, kids are just going to watch what they watch. Unless kids have that instinctive trait of like, they see something on YouTube or something, they're like, oh, what's that? And then they dive into it and do kind of like what I did. You know, I mean, I grew up with WCW and WWE, but I'd still watch a bunch of WCW stuff. Went back and watched a bunch of ECW stuff, watch a little bit of the NWA stuff, a little bit of AWA, this and that, and then brought myself to watch TNA and all that stuff. But if you're inclined to just watch one thing, you're just going to watch that one thing and that's all you know. It's what it is.
Right. Well, and then another piece of it, and I know you didn't watch it, and actually I didn't really pay attention to the main event. I'm probably say a hot take here that I wasn't planning on saying, but I'll mention it here. I don't think Chad Gable's that great of a pro wrestler in my mind. But his match with El Hijo de Vikingo, these WWE fans are like, where the hell did El Hijo Vikingo come? But yet he had a very good match against Kenny Omega, not even 2 or 3 years ago in AEW. We've been talking about this guy for years now, that he was the next up and coming star, but he had a match of the year candidate against Chad Gable. And all of a sudden, you know, give him the belt, put him on the main roster. I don't know. Like, are they so short-sighted, short-visioned that they don't see outside of the bubble to see what some of the other wrestlers are doing outside of the I don't watch a whole lot of WWE, but I still focus. I can still see. I'm still on social media enough to get the alerts about stuff that's happening outside of my bubble. And these algorithms nowadays are positioned that any pro wrestling gets thrown my direction, whether or not I watch it or not. Like I get stuff for like indie promotions in like Missouri that I've never heard of on my feed now, and so like I know how these algorithms work. They're seeing AEW stuff because I see WWE stuff and I interact with mostly the AEW stuff. So I don't know, but let's move in to talking about some of the biggest WWE news of the week. And that reminds me to tell y'all about our final promotional sponsor this week, and that is WWE shop. Unleash your inner superstar with the WWE shop, from the electrifying moments of WrestleMania to the hard-hitting battles of Monday Night Raw. WWE shop has the gear to match your passion. Snag those authentic tees. You can pick up a Mr. Iguana tee on the WWE shop. You can get some hats and championship belts to bring the WWE universe right to your wardrobe. Visit the link in the description. Suit up to cheer on your favorite wrestler. WWE shop, every fan deserves to feel like a champion. First question I got to ask is, did you watch Monday Night Raw on Monday?
I did not.
All right, so it was background noise for me. I paid zero attention to it, but it was on my TV. WWE Raw, Monday Night Raw, is very good background noise. Like, you could fall asleep watching the show. I don't know what happened. I saw bits and pieces of it as I was maybe not, you know, not reading something on social media at the moment or whatnot. An important announcement was made on Monday Night Raw. We have a WWE championship match announced, world championship match in Saudi Arabia. John Cena takes on CM Punk, the same CM Punk that just a few years ago said to The Miz that he should get his, that he should suck a blood money covered dick. And yet the blood money has come. Someone made a meme of a t-shirt that CM Punk should be wearing, which said, "I went to Saudi Arabia and all I got, or I took the blood money covered dick and all I got was this WWE championship." So obviously the blood money's good enough for CM Punk when he gets a championship match, included with that blood money. Is this just CM Punk being CM Punk, or is there just a blatant hypocrisy in how CM Punk has just completely changed face since joining the WWE?
I think that he has sold out to the Fed. It's probably an unpopular opinion, but I mean, you can be mad at a promotion and you can be mad at the way it's treated you and all that. But once you make an appearance back on their show, which he did, you know, he was part of Fox Sports and WWE backstage before he went to AEW. That's you opening the door for settling some peace within the company. So I think when he returned to wrestling in AEW, I don't think that he hated WWE any longer. He didn't love them. Maybe he even didn't like them, but he didn't hate them as remotely as much as he did. Mm-hmm. And for him to say that comment, and then now all of a sudden he's going over there, it's all fun and games until you get that almighty dollar thrown at you, right? Just like Teddy Biasi says, everybody's got a price. Mm-hmm. Whatever Punk's price is, he's getting paid for it, I guess. But it's amazing how a country that's got so many problems with humanitarian things, that people like CM Punk have a problem with. And I'm not going to get Mr. Political here, but I don't know if you saw what Brody King posted.
I was going to use that same example.
Him and Phil probably have the same kind of mindset. And you can say all that shit about stuff here in America, but God forbid you're going to say that about any other country across the world. And maybe because you live in America that you should be focused on it, sure. But that same theory, that same belief system should be felt for anywhere around the world. And if you're not going to have that same sentiment when you now are a part of that organization and they're still doing that stuff, going over to that country, knowing the kind of humanitarian issues that are there,
right,
speaks to what kind of character you are. You know, stick to your guns and say like Sami Zayn did and don't go. And now I think Sami's going too, right? I mean,
I think Sammy's issue was more of a religious thing, and they kind of
not shunned, but they didn't
right. exactly they're more, welcome. They're more of more accepting to the religious aspect now, which is why Sami Zayn decided to come over. Phil,
want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Phil's, I think the problem is Phil has completely turned 180. If you remember his AEW run, he was Mr. Political. Like every show he would bring out some sort of political message, or a fan would have a sign and he would make sure to bring it to, you know, make the camera focus on it. He hasn't done any of that in WWE, and maybe WWE has a different policy towards wrestlers doing that type of stuff, but obviously they don't, because on the opposite side of the aisle, just the other day, Cody Rhodes, Tiffany Stratton, Montez Ford, and Angelo Dawkins were at Fort Bragg doing some celebration, and Donald Trump was there. So, like, obviously, WWE is okay with you sharing some form of political belief, and yet Phil has gone silent on a lot of this stuff, and he said a bunch of other things on social media, especially about, like, if you're a company who covers up rapists and things like that, and yet hasn't said a damn thing about his own company and the accusations that are going on in the WWE. And to me, it's Phil, we're paying you good, you're going to shut up, and you can have these opinions in private, but don't air them to the public. And if you want this good payday, you're going to have to, you know, swallow your pride and go to Saudi Arabia if you want that title opportunity.
Yeah, and another thing I would bring up too is, like, I've seen a lot of things on social media regarding this issue. People bring up the fact that the higher ups of WWE are Republicans or have donated money and have political opinions that favor on the right side. And that may be well and true, at least as far as Vince McMahon's side of the things go. Obviously, Linda McMahon is a Republican. She's in Trump's cabinet again. I believe Stephanie and Triple H cater to that side of that as well. I don't know 100% sure, but I'm quite sure. And I know that they've appeared in the White House and gone to Trump's things, and it would make sense. But WWE also has the initiative of the whole SmackDown Your Vote. Now, I remember that being a thing back in 2004 and all the way from, I think they still do it, I could be wrong, but I know that every political season they would make sure to do that whole SmackDown Your Vote. And they would have people go into Democrat things, they would have people go into Republican things. I remember it used to be JBL going to the Republican side of things and Mick Foley going to the Democratic side of things. And I think that was because that was actually their beliefs. But still, they catered things for the left, they catered things to the right. So even if they have donated in their private business, or at least they were, so even though they're public, I guess, but what people do in their personal time, left, right, middle, whatever, that's their personal beliefs and opinions. They have a right for that. They can do whatever they want. But when you so profoundly used to do things on TV and in another company that's also on a big time network, to showcase those things and be that advocate, and then all of a sudden there's nothing like that,
right?
That speaks to your character. And I mean, go beyond the whole blood money comment, just the t-shirt designs that he would bring out. Like you said, the signs, the pointing of signs, the same things on camera. There's none of that now.
Right.
So you got bought out to just shut up, take the money and shut up. You don't need to say this anymore. You put the money in your back pocket and just shut up your opinion because they gave you a bunch of money. Now you're not going to advocate for it. Like, right. Again, that shows how much of a character you have by saying, yeah, well, I mean, if you just have enough money in your pocket, you can just be quiet because you're getting rich.
Right.
It's one way of looking at it, I think, but I don't know.
Yeah, let's move on to the next piece of news. As we know, Ron Killings has arrived in WWE. R-Truth signed. He's no longer going by R-Truth. He's going by Ron Killings. He cut his hair on Monday Night Raw. So the t-shirt designs that they've already created for him are already outdated because it was Truth with long hair, but now he has short hair. I think this is cool that they're allowing Truth to have one final serious run before he retires. His son announced that it wasn't a work. Even though people want to believe it was a work, his son is confirming it was not a work and that he got a new deal and, that he's happy for his dad. And so I'm excited to see where this goes. My issue with it is they kind of just cut a storyline off because he was, I guess, tag teaming with the lesser important Uso before his deal ended. They stopped that on TV thing, and now he's back as some different character. So logistically, I don't get how it makes any sense for the on-screen product. I guess that's neither here nor there, but... I know you mentioned it earlier a little bit, but Ron Killings in WWE, I don't think he's gone by Killings since his TNA run, correct?
Yeah, so I know he's always been R-Truth since he was in WWE. Well, except for his first run in WWE when he was known as K-Quick, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, I think it's cool, though. It's cool to have his just authentic real name come out and just be him. It's a good way to present the different character development going on. He went from being the funny comedic relief effort of R-Truth to a more serious, you know, his real persona, Ron Killings. And it's a good way to get that transitional character out and develop that character on screen. As that was the funny me as R-Truth. This is now the serious Ron Killings type of thing. It was pretty cool.
Mr. Iguana was praised backstage by the WWE brass, and to the point that they don't want him to even go to NXT. They want him to jump straight to the main roster. Obviously, this is, you know, marketing. They can market him better on the main roster than they can in NXT. They probably have more kids in attendance. And that just, the main roster fits that kid-friendly market better than the NXT crowd. But that's a big vote of confidence for a guy that literally 3 weeks ago, probably half of America didn't even know he existed. And now he's like the biggest thing in pro wrestling, at least on the WWE side of things. And so good for him. Like I said, he has a really good gimmick. And I actually agree with what Wavy D just put in the comments, that he won't fit in the current system long term. This is just a flash in the pan, like Joe Hendry's going to be. As soon as the steam rolls off, he'll be sent back to AAA, and I think that's fine. He's going to, you know, make WWE a lot of money right now, and that's all they really, you know, all he and WWE I think really cares about. Any thoughts on Iguana Man?
I think he'll be on the main roster as long as he sells. That could be a long term. That could be short term. I think as far as that goes, they're going to sell the shit out of Mr. Iguana Mass. They're going to sell a shit ton of stuffed iguanas. They're going to sell t-shirts. They're going to sell anything and everything they can that's got Mr. Iguana all over it. And if he just prints money for WWE for a year, 6 months, 10 years, they're going to do it. And it may not have to be, he has to be in the main storylines every week. He could be here and there, make appearances on all sorts of different shows and just show up and that's it. He didn't even have to wrestle. He could just be on backstage stuff. He could basically take over the R-Truth side of things. And as long as he's putting the company money, they'll use him in some capacity.
Right.
Once you really start seeing sales dip, not doing so well, then you'll see him off TV, but we'll kind of have to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Three more bullet points on the WWE side of things. Nikki Bella showed up on Monday Night Raw in her hometown, I guess you could say, of Phoenix, Arizona. She gets interrupted by Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan lays her out. And then TMZ runs a report, I think this morning, that Brie Bella is pissed off. And she is trying to get back to WWE as well. Obviously, it's kayfabe. We're going to get the Bellas fighting Liv and Raquel for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. Adding to the fact that you hate Women's Tag Team Championships is because this kind of shit right here.
let's not say I hate it. I just don't like it.
But the Bellas are back, it seems like. Your thoughts on their WWE return?
Just there for a payday and to sell a pay-per-view that they just all of a sudden decided to have.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
WWE only cared about women's wrestling, 3 weeks ago when they decided to announce Evolution? Hasn't happened for 6-7 years, and all of a sudden, you know, we got to put a bunch of product on to dilute the AEW crowd and audience for all in the weekend. And we care about women's wrestling. We're going to put on the whole show of it again because we love women's wrestling. That's what we stand for.
We
couldn't
love
have
it
an evolution to. Yeah,
we love it so much. We're going to put it against the MLB All-Star Game and a Beyonce concert
in the same city.
In the same city.
It's just something to they're gonna pull out all the strings that they can to try to sell as much of that pay-per-view as possible. Bella's gonna show up. Wouldn't surprise me if Lita made an appearance, if Trish made an appearance. Obviously you got Tiffany, you got Becky. I'm sure Vakir and Julie will be on the card. I mean,
and
a lot.
We have the NXT Women's Championship match going to be on at Evolution instead of the NXT show Great American Bash, like 3 hours before the NXT mm-hmm. Women's Championship will be defended at Evolution.
Do we know who's in that match yet?
It'll be JC Jade and the winner of whatever tournament they're doing. It's obviously going to be this leads us into the next piece. The newly named Blake Monroe. Your thoughts on the name,
Blake? What? The old Key and Peele segment. Balake.
Balake.
I think we all knew the Monroe part was going to come. I mean, that was an obvious. I don't care if Blake is because of her niece or whoever makes appearances on their blog. That's fine and dandy. Obviously, somebody in the creative department didn't do their due justice and didn't do a thorough research on the name Blake.
But this is par for the course with WWE. They did the same damn thing with Gunther because Gunther had a first and a last name until they realized, oh shit, that's a fucking Nazi general. We'll just cut the last name off and call him Gunther. This is par for the course. They don't have a freaking team that can just, well, par for the course with their fans too. No one knows how to use Google apparently in WWE.
They don't know how to vet things very well. I mean, hell, 10 years ago when they had was it Paige, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch? They called them the Submission Sisters or whatever it was at first, and then they quickly realized that that's not exactly a good trio's name, and we got PCB out of that. That was a whole thing. They don't do very well as far as vetting thoroughly. If this was Vince McMahon, he would have definitely kept Mariah Monroe. He loves that double entendre with the double same letters for the name. Maybe Trips was just trying to get away from that, or Shawn Michaels, whoever came up with it. I know it's a name. I don't like it. Uh-huh. So they could have done better, but.
So, like, I get the point that she wanted to keep it personal with having the family ties. At least, like, with Ricky Starks, he had it the same way when he changed to Ricky Saints. At least the name sounded familiar to his prior gimmick that he was known by. Blake Monroe, like, it just – in our group chat, our buddy said – it doesn't even roll off the tongue well, like, and it really doesn't. And I don't get the name change, like, and then her entire gimmick. I don't know if you saw this, was, from start to finish. Like, obviously, this is obviously a picture back to her feud with Mariah. Or with Mariah and Toni Storm, like, she's playing essentially Toni Storm 30 years later, I guess is what you could say. Like, but just the promo video, whoever created this promo video, or maybe even Mariah herself, must be the biggest Sabrina Carpenter fan, because they copied literally frame by frame the promo video for every Sabrina Carpenter concert opener. That she plays that same video, and it was frame by frame a direct copy. So again, WWE obviously lacks creative effort because they have to copy everything. And hey, kudos to them for executing on it. But I don't know. It's just, it irritates me that, and obviously this is Mariah's dream. But, like, she made her name, she made her money using Mariah May, even from the indies on throughout. And I guess for her, it's like, if her WWE deal doesn't work out, like, she could go back to Mariah May. But it's like, at that point, do people really care? Like I'll use these people for an example. Priscilla Kelly. The WWE fans don't know her by Priscilla Kelly. They know her by Gigi Dolin, Elena Black. People, the WWE fans don't know her by Elena Black. They know her by Cora Jade. And so the problem is, and then the people who know who these people are outside of their WWE names, they know them by their indie names. Like, I know Priscilla Kelly, and I hope she brings back her bloody tampon too, by the way.
No. Do not need that anymore. No. Once was enough.
But anyway, I don't know. I'm just rambling at this point. I hate the name change, but I hope Mariah or Blake Monroe the best of success. To me, when I think, like, this is what I've envisioned. We want you to be like some long lost relative of Marilyn Monroe, and you kind of look like Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds' wife. So we'll just mix the two together, and you're blonde and attractive. So Blake Monroe, that's kind of maybe it's like my former boss. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I guess that might maybe they had the idea at 3 o'clock in the morning, like a former boss I had comes up with ideas just in the middle of the night and has to, you know, last minute make some direction changes there.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where I thought they were going to go with it was a obviously the portray off of Marilyn Monroe and the portray off of Blake Lively and put them together. There's Blake Monroe. But at the same time, I'm very surprised that they're using the Sabrina Carpenter theme with Mariah, Blake, Monroe. You know, you would think that that would kind of would have translated itself better on the main roster, since obviously Sabrina Carpenter is a very mainstream person, and you know, Netflix USA is more mainstream than NXT. But obviously, it can go with her when she does go up to the main roster. Probably one of the biggest acts, besides Taylor Swift, Beyonce, and some of these other girls that are out there doing these sellout stadium tours. Sabrina Carpenter is right up there. So, you know, it's not a bad thing to portray somebody like that. But it'll be interesting to see what happens from here. I'm surprised Mariah didn't just say, yeah, just take my name. It's fine. I'm in the Fed. I don't care. It's my dream. Just I don't care. Whatever. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I'll use Blake Monroe. I don't care. I'm in the WWE. I don't care. So it's your dream.
Right. And so last piece on the WWE news, part of the show, we'll go quickly with them. We don't have to dive into this one. And one sentence here. It was reported by Fightful Select that this coming Monday in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Goldberg is coming back to Monday Night Raw, leading up to a Atlanta show where I think he's going to fight Gunther at some point in his retirement match. In one sentence, how happy are you that Goldberg is coming back to WWE?
Should have retired 10 years ago. And I'm going to put a period on that and then say the world title change on Monday was ridiculous, horrible, pointless, useless, and stupid. I'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it there. This is now the time that I had dedicated for some Discord questions, and we got a good one for you, sir, in the chat. Mr. DJ Wavy D, you're a pro wrestling analysis, he says. He needs your pro wrestling analysis here. How would you book a fatal four-way match between Mr. Iguana, Santino Marella, Mick Foley, and Al Snow, Orange Cassidy, the special guest referee?
Oh, man. Wow. Well, just like with every fatal four-way, everybody's got to get their shit in. So we got to have Mr. Iguana with the Iguana. We got to have Santino Marella with the Cobra. We got to have Mr. Sacco with Foley, and we got to have Head with Al Snow, and they all four have to fight with those at some point. Obviously, everybody's going to get their finisher in, whether it's the Iguana guy, whether it's the Cobra, Sacco, Head. An absolute comedic match to the umpteenth degree, and Orange Cassidy is going to do the slowest pinfall in history until maybe whoever the face, which could be, and honestly, it could be any one of these, I guess, more so if Mick Foley or Mr. Iguana. He pulls a fast one on us, and there's a roll-up, and it's a fast count. And it's the puppets beginning the roll-up. So whether it's Sacco rolling up the Cobra or Iguana rolling up the Head, whatever, it's going to be a fast count at the end of the match. It's just going to be the most funniest thing in the world. If it were me, I would have Iguana going over on Sacco. Get a big push for the Iguana.
You could have Orange Cassidy take a ref bump, but like slow sell the shit out of the ref bump, and then have Bryce, the AEW ref, come in. Have you seen his comedy match where he was a referee against two invisible people?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Great. I love that. I love watching that. It makes me laugh so much. And then he can come in and do the fast count. But there we go. If you have any other questions, we might be able, if we have time, to jump in to some later questions there. Let's jump into some AEW news real quick. Everyone's been asking now for seems like a year, where's Wardlow and where's Camille? Actually, nobody's really been asking about any of them, but there's just a few that like to use that as for people that AEW benched Wardlow or AEW's benched Camille. Actually, well, it turns out they haven't been benched. They both were announced today to be part of American Gladiators, the reboot of the show American Gladiators. Hey, they're actually doing something outside of AEW at the moment. Obviously, Camille was also in Queen of the Ring. And so just a bunch of acting jobs for Wardlow and Camille on the rise. So we'll leave that there. There's not much to talk about it, but just a brief moment there. Kenny Omega, Kazuchika Okada for the Unified title. Now, I'm not a big fan of the name, but I like that they're unifying the belts. So your overall thoughts on the Unified title?
I'm fine with them unifying to make one title. I don't know if I'm a big fan of it being called the Unified title. One of the biggest things I have a problem with is that on one side plate, it's got the one winged angel. On the other, it has the Rainmaker. So, like, are they going to just defend this championship? And are we going to change up the side plates to whoever's finishing move it is? Like, that's kind of cool, but almost makes me think that it has to be either Okada or Omega that can hold that belt and nobody else can hold it. Like, that just seems kind of odd. Unless we're going to go with the lineage that this was an Okada Omega combined belt and it's got prestige and lineage just with that. So you can say that I am now holding a title that its lineage was born by Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada. That's not bad. It does make the title very important right off the bat. Big time match. As much as some people think, it's not going to be the main event. It should not be the main event.
Right.
I know that's hard to say that. It's all in. It's going to be a loaded card.
Right. They're going to.
The title has to be the main event.
Right. Every match on this card, with the exception of maybe like a few, could main event this show. Is the feeling that I'm getting out of it. You're going to get Tony Khan throwing out absolute dream matches on this. Like, it's the biggest show on American soil for AEW. So, like, I get it, but you're right. You have to have your world championship main event, the show. And then one other point on the name. I know people like JD, for example, JD for NY. Well, I know they call it the Intercontinental Champion. They can't. WWE has trademarked the name Intercontinental Champion. So you can't, you know, trademark infringe that. So, yeah,
and I'm okay with it not being called the Intercontinental Championship because immediately people are going to draw conclusions and comparisons to the WWE Intercontinental Championship. So it would have been hard to, you know, make it its own thing when it's going to be compared like that.
Right.
Could they have they could have done a better job with a name for it, but it is what it is at this point.
Now, I wonder if when they might call it, like, the short name would be the Unified Champion or whatever, Unified Title. But I wonder if like, the official name would be something like the Unified International Continental Championship or something like that. But
I think maybe for a match announcement, either for a graphic or during the in-ring announcements,
right,
they could call it the Unified AEW International Continental Championship,
right,
but obviously shorten it to just the Unified Championship or Unified Champion.
Right.
That I would be okay with, but don't give me that long drawn out name very, very often.
Right.
Just say Unified Champion. We understand it. We're not stupid.
Right. Right. Speaking of Dynamite last night, Ospreay and Swerve Strickland. Man, I hated that was a 30-minute time limit because that match was everything I could have asked for. I kind of figured it would end in a draw just based off of context clues, but it was such a good match. Ospreay started bleeding really early. Oh, my microphone about killed me, but anyway. Ospreay started bleeding early. I don't know if it was just like a unplanned nosebleed or Swerve hit him with an elbow or something accidentally, but it was weird, and then it busted him open, but it was utilized very well to tell a story in the ring, which is why I have always said I prefer in-ring storytelling over long, drawn-out, theatrical stories, because they sold the story with what happened in the ring, especially with the Young Bucks coming out and Ospreay taking the hit. Now, obviously, the end of the show where Hangman went up and scolded the Bucks and Swerve heard Hangman call him out. Obviously, like, those kind of backstage pieces are vital for progressing the story, but I love that this story is being told majorly from an in-ring perspective. Just an absolute classic. One of the best matches on a Dynamite in some time. Yeah, it was just really fun. He froze, so I don't know if he's going to drop here any minute now. Let me see. Did he drop? I think he might have. Yep, there he is. Well, while he gets back in here, I'll answer this question from Wavy D. If AEW had a all-out night two, this wouldn't be a problem. They already complain about AEW All Out being or one night being too long. Imagine a two-night show where they give you a second piece of five-hour TV. The IWC would be just absolutely pissed off if that happened. I was going to ask him about his thoughts on Swerve and Ospreay. If y'all watched the match in the comments, let me know what y'all think about Swerve and Ospreay. But we're waiting for him to get back in. Wavy D put a wrestling question in the chat. I'll answer this one for in the Discord, actually. If you haven't joined the Discord, join the Discord. I think the link's in the description. But he says, with all of the wrestling we have access to in the world, have you ever gotten tired? Have you ever gotten wrestling fatigue? To the point where wrestling almost felt like a chore. Oh, perfect. Hey, he's back.
Don't know what happened there.
Alrighty. I don't know where we were. I think we were talking about Swerve and Ospreay. But just an absolutely great match. I started while you were gone reading. Wavy D put a message in the Discord. So we'll break for a minute and do this Discord question and then get back to Swerve. He says, with all the wrestling that's in the world, have you ever gotten wrestling fatigued to the point that wrestling almost felt like watching was a chore or a task? Have you ever had to take a break from watching wrestling?
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed-sponsored jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed-sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
100%. Yeah. I mean, you can easily get burnt out from it. There's a lot of wrestling in general on. And if you're a diehard fan and you watch Raw, you watch Evolve, you watch NXT, you watch TNA, you watch AEW, SmackDown. I mean, you can easily get so burnt out so quickly. If you watch wrestling, you can watch almost every day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, depending on if there's a pay-per-view. Yeah, I mean, there was a point in time in 03, 04, more so 02, 03, I kind of got burned out a little bit. And then 2009, 2010, 2011, I got really burnt out from WWE. I didn't really like the storytelling. TNA was starting to get into a lull. So there'd be a few weeks where I wouldn't watch wrestling at all. I just got burnt out from it. And then all it takes is a compelling storyline for me to get drawn back into it, whether it was the Nexus thing, whether it was Aces and Eights. Those things drew me back to at least a promotion, maybe not full-time watching all sorts of the product. If Aces and Eights was really big, I would watch more so of Impact TNA Wrestling. The Nexus storyline, it hooked me back into watch WWE. So you could easily get burnt out by that stuff.
Right.
Sometimes you got to take a little bit of a break, but happens with all of us.
You know, there was a period of time, I would say, between, oh goodness, like 2008 to 2015, where I didn't watch any pro wrestling at all. NXT brought me back. I remember when I first started watching NXT, Hideo Itami had just shown up. He's now Kenta on the indie scene. CJ Parker was there, which is now Juice Robinson. And Baron Corbin had his cool gimmick before he shaved his head and turned very boring. Alexa Bliss, I remember watching her grow from there, and with Blake and Murphy. NXT brought me back. Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho introduced me to New Japan. There's a lot of wrestling. I think the way that I look at wrestling is a lot of it is on demand now, so I don't feel as like pressed to watch everything I want to watch live or in the moment, because I can find it at a later time. So I can take my wrestling in bits and pieces. So you can get burned out, but I find it that there's just like, you know, any other entertainment form. You can kind of take your time, and you don't have to binge watch everything. You can kind of take your time on it.
There was a point in time from like 2009 to 2015. I didn't watch SmackDown because it was awful. I didn't watch a single SmackDown show.
Yeah.
And the brand split kind of helped me get back to watching SmackDown a little bit, but a little bit more in depth about kind of like my thing was in that time period of like 05, 06, 07, 08, where I was only watching either Raw or TNA, maybe a little bit of SmackDown. It brought me back to wanting to watch some of the older stuff. And this was a point in time where you still had VCRs. DVDs were obviously the most popular thing and most what people use, but I saw the VCR and I would use Amazon gift cards when Amazon was still really in its infancy, kind of in the mid 2000s. But I would get Amazon gift cards or prepaid gift cards, and I would buy WCW VHS tapes and just watch WCW VHS tapes, or WWF VHS tapes, ECW VHS tapes, just whatever I could get that was cheap enough that I could find on Amazon. And I would, that's how obviously I would, I was my own WWE network. And
I've seen this collection. It's quite massive.
It's stupid. I'm very lucky. I'm married, to be honest with you. Then obviously when the network came about, and that's one thing that I was going to say was when the network came out, I was so enamored with it because it had original content. You had Camp WWE. You had the Legends House. You had Swerved, whatever that show was, that it was like the Jackass version of WWE. I loved that. That was cool. It brought me into the behind the scenes role things, but it was just something different. And obviously when they went away with all that stuff, if I got bored with watching current day wrestling, I would just go back on that and watch old school AWA or WCCW or WCW. And
or the 2004 Royal Rumble.
Oh, for Royal Rumble. I need to make sure I understood that Eddie Guerrero won the Royal Rumble that year, even though I was there and I saw it differently. I just wanted to make sure I saw that Eddie Guerrero did not win the Royal Rumble. But yeah, just going back and watching old shows and sometimes if I got burned out from the old, from the current product or just didn't like it, I just go back and just watch some of the old product and just find something that was more of like a soothing comfort thing and
right.
learn more about stuff and just go from there. But yeah, it's crazy.
All right, back to AEW. Your thoughts on Swerve and Ospreay?
Great match. I was fine with it being a draw. I kind of figured it was going to do that anyways, unless Ospreay was going to take the win. Kind of make that series 1-1. But I was fine with it. The super kick with the thumbtacks using Swerve shoes by the Bucks was fun. Ospreay taking the hit for Swerve was cool. In a way, it was kind of awkward too, because it's like once Ospreay got hit, Swerve's in handcuffs. He still can't defend himself. So I would have had the Bucks still hit Swerve regardless.
Right.
But, you know, them leaving the ring, it's like, oh, shit. Like, we didn't expect that. And they kind of got shook from that. The way that I see it leading up is the Bucks versus Swerve and Ospreay. I could see the Ops versus Yuta, Gabe Kidd, and Claudio for the Trios titles. Just try to load up this card as much as possible, use as much talent as they can.
Right.
Yeah, I thought top to bottom was a really good show. Didn't watch all 4 hours again. I just can't do it. But went back and watched most of the show today at work and on lunch break and stuff like that. And thought it was a really good show. It set up really well for next week for Grand Slam Mexico, while still building to All In.
Right. Which, by the way, Grand Slam Mexico, while it's not 4 hours, 2.5 next week.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I'm glad they're giving a little bit of an overrun for that show. It is a very important show. And I did see a couple things on X. I don't even think I followed him. I think it was just the wrestling algorithm. Oh, gosh, I forgot his name now. It was a guy a Spanish guy that was on AEW. It wasn't Alex Abrahantes. It was another manager.
Jose the Assistant?
Yes. Yes. He was on Twitter saying what he would do to kind of help make this a bigger event. And I agree with him on most of the things. Bringing out Carlos Cabrera last night was awesome.
Right.
I hope he's on the commentary team for obviously the Spanish commentary. As much as a sucker I am for stage designs, and I love unique stage designs, if I'm AEW,
I'm using that AAA stage.
Yes. While you may be the headliner and what drew the tickets, although CMLL sells out its own stuff, so that's neither here nor there. Use the same setup, ring, stage design, just keep it the same. Obviously, put your graphics on there. That's fine. But make this as unique of a situation as possible while showcasing CMLL and making them strong, right, while also making AEW strong. Like, I hope FTR beats Atlantis and Atlantis Jr., and I hope Mystico beats MJF.
Oh, yeah.
To me, that's serving your partnership great. I don't care if MJF is one of the top stars in AEW. If you want a partnership to look good, you got to have some of their guys go over.
Right.
Me, I'm putting Mystico over MJF.
Right. I agree with that. I'm excited for that show next week. I'm excited for that. We don't have to watch 4 straight hours on a Wednesday again. Yeah. I love AEW, but not that. I fell asleep at about 11 o'clock last night. I'm going to be honest with you.
I wake up too damn early, so I'll watch an hour of that, and then I'm like, all right, I'll watch the rest of it tomorrow. It is what it is.
We're speaking about filling this card up for All In. We are exactly a month away today from AEW All in Texas. We have the Women's World Title match. We have the Men's World Title match. We have the Unified International Continental match. We have a thought process for what could be the Trios title match. But the tag team scene, the Hurt Syndicate, really doesn't have a tag match. We really don't have anything for Adam Cole. He's been on commentary more than he's been wrestling. And if he has wrestled, it's been in like 4-way tag team matches. So what are we doing with the TNT title? What are we doing with the tag team titles? I'm trying to think. Are there? I mean, obviously the TBS belt probably doesn't get defended, but like I said, you could do like a women's gauntlet match to determine a number one contender for that TBS belt for like the Collision after the show, or something like that. It just seems like some of these titles we haven't really got any answers for. So like, what do we do with Adam Cole? Like, to me, the perfect thing would be Adam Cole versus Ricochet. Like, Ricochet wants gold. He shouldn't go for a main title right away. He has he's looking for a crew. He finds a crew to go and beat up Adam Cole's crew, and that could create a tag match in and of itself on like the buy-in, and then you have Cole versus Ricochet. But like, what are we doing with Cole? Like, I know he's kind of in this thing with Kyle Fletcher, and maybe
Yeah, that's where I was going to go, was him versus Kyle and let Kyle win it. Give him a big spot and a big moment. Elevate him a little bit, either him or Takeshita. But I would say Kyle Fletcher versus Adam Cole and let Fletcher win.
And then the tag team scene. The Hurt Syndicate stuff is great, like, but the focus right now is MJF. So, like, are we – maybe the idea is – MJF comes into Mexico and he's acting like a total dick, and the Hurt Syndicate doesn't want, like, he's going too far for them, and they turn on him in Mexico, and then it leads to MJF finding a partner to fight the Hurt Syndicate. Like, but really, we don't have a tag team scene at this point for the tag team champions. Like, I don't know if they fought in a tag team match. And like 2v2 for the belt or not for the belt since the last pay-per-view.
Yeah, the tag team scene is very depleted right now. And I think obviously if you're going to, it's hard to keep all divisions with momentum and keeping it going. Right. The tag scene right now is unfortunately suffering a little bit. The obvious would be the Hurt Syndicate versus FTR, but FTR is doing its own thing right now, so I don't think that's going to happen. And they're both kind of heel groups, so it wouldn't make sense anyways. There's really not a face tag team that comes to mind, and I'm like, that's the one, right. Unless it's going to be Ospreay and Swerve against Hurt Syndicate, but that doesn't make sense from the storytelling aspect of the Unbox.
So the only thing at this point, with 30 days left and there's no story being told, the only thing that I could see that makes sense, and I talked about this on Saturday, would be if the Hurt Syndicate came out there, and I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, they cut that promo that says they want to fight the best tag teams, blah, blah, blah. If there's a tag team that they're trying to debut or return, that they do like an open challenge at All In, and we introduce a new tag team. But because there's no story being told, I don't know where this should go. Like, I can't give you my fantasy booking of the tag team scene because there's really no tag team scene at this point.
Yeah, I think that we're just kind of in that lull for the tag team division side of things. Like I said, not every division is going to be hot going into a big show, but they could either do a Casino Battle Royal on the buy-in, the winner faces the tag team champions, could be Bucks, Ospreay and Omega, Ospreay and Swerve for FTR and the Hurt Syndicate. I don't love that. I hope it doesn't happen. Could be a ladder match. I think the tag scene is just going to be one of those either smorgasbord matches, or maybe that's where we see the crack in the MJF Hurt Syndicate thing, and either MJF accidentally costs him the tag belts, or something happens to where it starts leading to either a turn fully or a beginning of the slow turn. So I'm not looking at it so much of a great storyline leading to a match. I'm looking at it as, where is that MJF Hurt Syndicate storyline going to be progressed going into All In at the pay-per-view and then coming out of it? Which maybe that's right. that may be the best strategy, since you got so many of these big matches happening. All right, you know what? Let's turn that one to be more of that storyline aspect of it versus best dream match possible. So which is not a bad idea.
And then obviously with a ROH pay-per-view that weekend, they're not going to have a whole lot of ROH stuff on the show, which I think is a good thing. I'm excited to see what matches get put together. Last thing that I wanted to talk about, and then we'll end the show. Tekla has shown up, and I guess the question I want to ask is, has she overproduced in her short run right now in AEW? And I guess by overproduced, what I'm saying is she came in, and I don't know if even a whole lot of AEW fans had high expectations for her to end the division, but she's come out and she has had back-to-back weeks against Lady Frost and against Queen Aminata where she has put on an absolute fantastic match. So to me, I think she's overproduced her value that we have put. Like, oh, I think when she came in, everyone's like, oh, she's just going to kind of fade into oblivion after a couple weeks. But she's really making her name known in AEW, in my opinion.
I wouldn't say last week was a great match. It was a good first showing of her. And Lady Frost is a good wrestler, so that it was fine. The match last night against Queen Aminata was a better overall match, I think. With her, I'm looking at it from a presentation perspective. Mm-hmm. This is just a wholly unique type of individual and character that we've ever seen on modern mainstream wrestling. And that's what's going to separate her from anybody in that women's division. Same thing with Megan Bain, her presence, her character work, her persona. The way she's produced, that's what draws her differently. Mercedes is the same way. Toni Storm is the same way. I feel the women's division has a better character development than the men's side of it.
Right.
But that's what makes it very unique and very good is the fact that, yeah, they have really good wrestlers, but they also have some really interesting characters and personas and personalities. And that's why I kind of wish, that's why I kind of hate that Mercedes versus Toni is not a double belt. Mercedes could defend her belt. Could, I don't know. But the presence of Tekla makes her unique.
Right.
And that's what's going to keep her kind of fresh on the shows, is that just her whole spider gimmick thing, it's different. It makes you go, what in the hell am I watching? And that's fine. I don't know, storyline-wise, where she goes, if she has a big presence at all in, if she just have right. a match, if she's in a battle royal of some sort.
I mean, obviously what they're going to do obviously is put her with Sky Blue and Julia Hart, and instead of creating a women's tag team division, they create a women's trios division. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, wait, that listen, you know what, that's enough of that. We're just gonna no, that ain't happening. If the women's tag belts are doomed, the women's trios belt is let's kill it before it even gets started.
Well, so, yeah.
For all the wrong reasons.
That's all I had on today's agenda. One more comment to read. 30 days away from apparently the greatest show of the weekend, the Great American Bash. If you say so, I may not be watching because it's on at the same time as AEW. So, Cody said lol. And, yeah.
WCW Great American Bash 2000. Yeah. It's going to be better than whatever the hell Great American Bash puts on. And that's including a Human Torch match where Sting, a fake Sting, falls 40 feet through the stage on fire. Give me that show over whatever the Fed's putting on.
And with that, I'm going to say this is another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I am your host, Junkyard James, and I'm going to turn it over, as always, to my co-host, Cody Marinara, for the final words.
Well, ladies and gents, the show is closed here, and I don't have anything really clever or witty to say besides have a great weekend, and we will see you guys next week. And as always, stay saucy.
Beyond the Junkyard, echoes roar, shattered dreams.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.